So now we begin a powerful story set in the harsh world of 19th century rural Dorset, written by Thomas Hardy, which all begins one fateful day at the horse fair.
The Mayor of Casterbridge by Thomas Hardy. Dramatised in four parts by Sally Hedges. With David Calder as Michael Henchard, Jason Fleming as Donald Farfrae, Janet Dale as Susan, and Andrea Ray as Elizabeth Jane. Episode 1. The Horse Fair.
Queer are the ways of a man I know. He comes and stands in a careworn craze.
Lisbeth.
With moveless hands and face and gaze. Then turns to go.
Oh, my Lisbeth.
And what does he see when he gazes so?
Casterbridge. And thee, Lisbeth Jane. I got a keepsake of me, my girl. Pair of gloves you used to wear. Oh, pretty mouth they are. Come. If I press them like this to my cheek, perhaps I'll see thee, eh? I'm so far from thee, Lisbeth. And here, an old handkerchief of thine. A scrap of paper. It's got your writing on it. So many tokens. Surely I can conjure thee, Lisbeth, when I need thee. Like I do now.
Oh, not again.
What?
See up ahead. He's talking to himself.
Oh, the state of him.
Come round this side of me. You don't look right.
Aye.
Come on. Let's get past quick.
Here. Here, are you from Wayton Priors there?
No, just passing through.
Oh, good luck.
He's drunk. Or mad.
Hey, wait. Isn't he the one they say was mayor once?
What? Him?
Where'd he be going?
Casterbridge, friend.
Ah, then you got 3 days' journey ahead of me.
Aye.
Good luck then, eh? Yeah. Good luck to thee.
Aye. And to thee, friend. You don't believe that, do you? Mayor of what? Casterbridge.
Casterbridge. They'll be covering the wagons now and leading in the horses. Lighten the lantern soon. What are thou doing, my Elizabeth? Lighten your lamp too. Are you sitting down to read, are you? Yet more reading. Oh. I hear thee, my lass.
What does he see when he gazes so? More clear than today. A sweet, soft scene. What his back ears bring. A phantom of his own figuring.
I know that they're there, my Elizabeth Jane. Straight line of the Dog's Tower there and down. Right there. Over the horizon. Beyond my seeing you might be, but... Oh, I can feel you, my girl. The truth. I love thee, dear. I knew it, but lately, though... But lately... It was by this very road that we walked. Right here. So many years ago.
Aye. And Susan was carrying the child, and I pretending to read a ballad sheet, I remember. And not speaking because of my cursed pride of being poor.
Mama?
Yes, Elizabeth Jane.
What's he doing?
Your daddy's humming, my treasure.
What's he humming?
Oh, I don't know. Some tune.
Hi there!
That's right. How in turnips he was in the field.
Any trade doing here?
Save the man.
Anything in the hay trussing line?
You come to waiting for a job of that sort this time of year.
Well then, is there any house to let? A small cottage just to build it or such like?
Pulling down's more in the nature of waiting. 5 houses cleared away last year there were. Now the folk got nowhere to go. No, not so much as the thatched hurdle.
Well, there's something happened over there.
Tis the fair. The likes of children and fools. I've been working within Soundering all day.
Oh, let's carry on. This way's we get someone to drink.
How could I have known? It seemed such an ordinary day, nothing at all remarkable about it.
Use a cloth to wipe away any cuts or grazes, and they'll heal twice as fast.
45, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50
drawn. Makes me shiver to think of it.
Tell your fortune, sir.
Drawn ever nearer to...
Look, Michael!
Oh, there! Oh, I thought I could smell it!
Oh, no, Michael, not beer. Look over there!
Could a man's destiny be housed in so mean a structure?
Well, that tent... It's nearly falling down. Look at the state of it.
But they're selling Fermity in there. Look at the sign. I always liked Fermity. So does Elizabeth Jane. Come on. So will you. It's nourishing after a long, hard day.
I never tasted it.
Oh, come on, Michael. Think of the child.
So I relented and allowed her to lead me in. Oh, my poor Susan.
Two bowls, if you please.
Two bowls, sir.
Thank you.
There you are, sir.
Over here, Michael.
And I sat down, opposite Susan, facing the entrance.
Phew, look at the smoke. It's very hot.
You can eat it from this big spoon, look. Blow it first.
Oh, my God, what's in it?
Oh, it's very good. It's milk, raisins, currants, wheat.
Slop, you mean.
Michael.
It's got pips, too, floating on the top.
No, that's the wheat, Elizabeth Jane.
Here, you see what she's doing?
Who?
The old woman, the one who sells it. She got a bottle in there. Here, you watch this. Pass my bowl up, neighbour, if you will.
What are you doing?
Just you watch.
Oh, is this your bowl, sir?
Oh, if you'd be so kind. Very neat and quick she was, pouring the measure, dipping it into the bowl and replacing the bottle beneath her skirts, all in one sly move.
Always happy to oblige a new customer, sir.
Thank you.
What's she put in?
Oh,
Oh, that lifts it a class or two, that. How much is it, eh, neighbour?
Tuppence.
Here.
Michael, what's she put in?
It is rum, Susan. Pass them along for me, friend, though. Here, let me do the same for yours.
No, not for me. You know I don't touch liquor.
Eh, more's the pity. It might put some fire in you. Here, another bowl of your good firmity, mistress. A double strength this time.
Do you want any more, Elizabeth Jane?
No, we've had enough. Can we go now?
What about lodgings, Michael? We'll have trouble finding any if we don't go soon.
Oh, but God, woman, can't a man eat without being pestered? Oh, thank you. That's what I need.
Oh, my poor wife. In steering me away from the beer stall outside, she only guided me onto the rocks here amongst the smugglers.
I'd be a stranger to marriage.
Well, he can't drag you down, no question. I married at 18 like a fool. And this is the consequence of it. Now, I've no more than 15 shillings in the world, but if I were free, I tell you, I'd be worth £1,000 by now. I would. But you never know these things. It's too late to act on them.
This is the last lot.
Pass and bowl along, friend.
Oh, more.
Yeah, we'll take 40 shillings. Lovely
mare,
this one.
40 shillings. Same again, mistress, if you please.
Great
promise, mare. I don't see why men who got wives and don't want them shouldn't get rid of them. There's these gypsy fellas, do them old horses.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
No, but I mean, why shouldn't they offer them to men who are in the need of such articles, eh? Be God, I'd sell mine this minute if anyone would buy her.
There's them that would do that.
True. I know true cultivation when I see it, and I can declare she's got it. In the bone, mind you, as much as any female in the fair. Though it may want a little bringing out.
Well, now's your chance. I'm open to offers for this gem of creation.
Michael, you've joked about this nonsense before, but take care. One day you'll do it once too often.
I know, I've said it before, I meant it. All I want is a buyer.
Hey, look, a swallow.
Come on.
That flight to the line.
Come on, there you go.
Oh.
Are you holding that up for me?
Come on here, place for you here.
You know, listen, come on, I'm waiting to know. The woman's no good to me. Who'll have her?
What's he doing? It's getting dark. If you don't come along, I should go without you. Look, the child's asleep. Come.
I asked a question, nobody answered it. Will anyone buy my goods?
Michael, this is getting too serious.
Will anybody buy her?
I wish somebody would. Her present owner's not at all to her liking.
Yeah, well, nor you to mine. Gentlemen here, it's an agreement to part. She'll take the girl as she wants and go her ways. I'll take my tools and go mine. Now you stand up, Susan. Show yourself.
Oh, no, don't, my child. You're a good man. Don't know what he's saying.
Now you stand up, I say. Now, who's auctioneer?
I be. Well, then, who'll make an offer for this lady?
5 shillings.
Here, no insults. Who'll say a guinea?
Oh, now, behave yourself, moral, for heaven's love.
Set it higher, auctioneer.
2 guineas?
If they don't take it without 10 seconds, they'll have to give more. Oh, very well. All right, auctioneer, go on, you add another.
3 guineas, then. Go in for 3 guineas.
No bid. Good Lord, she cost me 50 times the money of a penny. Go on.
4 guineas.
I tell you what, I won't sell her for less than 5. There. I'll sell her to you for 5 guineas. Any man that pay me the money. But she shan't go for less. Now then, 5 guineas. And she's yours.
5 guineas or she'll be withdrawn. To anyone give it? Last time, yes or no?
Yes.
You say yes.
I say so.
Yeah, well, saying's one thing, paying's another.
Now, before you go further, Michael, listen to me. If you touch that money, I and this girl go with the man. Mind, it's a joke no longer.
Yeah, well, of course it's no joke.
I take the money. Sailor here takes you. It's been done elsewhere. Why not here?
But only if the young woman is willing.
She's willing. Provided she can have the child. She said so the other day.
You swear to that?
I do.
Very well. She shall have the child, and a bargain's complete.
Come along. The little one too. The more the merrier.
Keep thy ring too. I've been thy wife 3 years, Michael, and had nothing but temper. And now I'm no more to thee. No. Never again.
And she was gone. And my daughter, my maid, gone too.
Where do the sailor live? God knows. He's a stranger here.
Gone. Like in some nightmare. Here. Here's where she stood, I reckon. Right here. On this spot. And down here's where I found her ring lying next day.
By God, it's true. She's gone.
I searched for weeks after, but found no trace.
She'd no business to take the maid. She's mine. My Elizabeth Jane.
Regret not me. Beneath the sunny tree, I lie uncaring, slumbering peacefully.
Oh, Elizabeth, to think I lost thee twice. Once when just a child, and now a fine young woman. Oh, but I've not lost thee now. That there in Casterbridge, aye. And I can hear thee still.
Now soon will come the apple, pear and plum, and hinds will sing, and autumn insects hum.
In my head thou art, and my heart, forever. You know, Elizabeth, when I could search for Susan no more, I found a holy place and entered in. Michael Henchard, on this morning of the 16th of September, do take an oath before God here in this solemn place, that I will avoid all strong liquors for the space of 21 years to come, being a year for every year that I have lived. And this I swear upon the book before me. And may I be struck dumb, blind and helpless, if I break this my oath. Oh, my Elizabeth Jane. 19 years was it before I saw thee and thy mother again. And didst walk this same route in search of me, my girl? In search of me, wast thou?
It's not likely we'll find news of him here, Mother. I thought you wished to get onward.
Yes, I do, Elizabeth Jane. But I had a fancy for looking up here.
Why?
It was here I first met with Newson, on such a day as this.
First met with Father Ether at Weydon Priors.
At the fair here, aye. Poor father. Oh, come. Come, let's not think on it.
But you say he was drowned.
Aye, and we must bear it as best we can.
But it didn't say drowned. Not in the letter.
No, but lost at sea means the same, Elizabeth Jane, and we must accept and bear it. Come. It was here, too, I last saw our relation,
Michael Henchard.
What's his exact kin to his mother?
He is, or was, for he may be dead. A connection by marriage.
He was a trusser, wasn't he, when you last heard of him?
He was.
I suppose he never knew me.
Of course not, Elizabeth Jane.
Well, I don't think there's much use asking here. People at fairs change like the leaves of trees.
I'm not so sure of that.
And there she was, as though conjured for them and set down in the midst of all the hurly-burly of the fair. There she sat. No tent now, but still there. The old toothless crone stirring her cauldron.
Good Fermity, sold here!
You're not going to speak to her, Mother.
Just a word. You stay here. A pennyworth, please. Hey.
Like some malignant spirit that oversaw our party.
Just a thought of rum in it, eh? Say two penneth. Might get slipped down like cordial.
No. Thank you.
And then brought us together again. For what end?
You've seen better days.
Oh, aye, ma'am. We've stood in this fairground, maid, wife and widow these 39 here. In that time, I've known what it were to do business with the richest stomachs in the land.
Can you call to mind the sale of a wife by her husband in your tent 19 years ago today?
Well, I can mind every murder, even every pocket picking, but a selling? Were it done quiet like?
Well, yes, I think so.
Yeah, I do.
I remember something you once read to me, Elizabeth. How'd it go? Like flies for we.
I can mind a man, a man in a cord jacket with a bag of tools.
That's him.
Aye. He come back here, that same man, to the next year's fair he did. That's right. And he said if a woman ever asked for him, I would just say he'd gone to... Where was it?
That's it. Like flies to wanton boys are we to the gods, they kill us for their sport.
Casterbridge! Yeah, the Casterbridge. Lord's my life that I should have thought of that again.
And you would have approached by the East Road, up over that small hill in the distance. I had a good view from up there, overlooking the town.
At last. Casterbridge.
And I, little knowing.
What an old-fashioned place it looks. All huddled together like it's being squeezed in by that wall of trees, look. And there's a band playing. Oh, come on, Mother. The butterflies and bees flying down the high street. Straight from the cornfields.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see what Enchard says about it. Ah, but there's nothing to be done now. Oh, tomorrow's time enough.
Those men mentioned the name of Enchard just then.
I heard.
But shall I run after him and ask him where...
No, no. He may be in the workhouse or the stocks, for all we know.
Why should you think that?
Oh, I don't know. Let's find something to eat first. Excuse me. Could you tell me the way to the nearest baker's?
Aye. You may as well look for manna. It's good bread in Casterbridge just now.
Oh?
Aye, they can thump their drums and have their roaring dinners. The likes of us can go beg for one of a wholesome crust.
Why is there no good bread?
'Tis the corn factor. The man the millers all deal with. He sold them growed wheat so the loaves be like suet pudding inside. The baker's further up on the right. Good luck to him.
There's quite a crowd up ahead, Mother. Shall I ask about our relation there?
Oh, I don't know, Elizabeth. I'm too worn out to do anything.
Excuse me. What's going on tonight?
Well, he must be a stranger, sure. The White is a great public dinner of the gentle people and all the leading folk. With the mayor at the top of the table there, see?
as we plainer fellas ain't invited. They set the table right by the window and leave the shutters open so we can stand opposite on these steps and get just a sense of it out here. If you come up on the steps, are you could see them better. Now, there's the councilmen, right and left, and in the big chair at the top, you see? And that's Mr. Henchard, the mayor.
The mayor?
I've no more than 15 shillings in the world, but if I were free, I tell you, I'd be worth £1,000 by now.
Michael Henchard.
Have you seen him, Mother?
Yes. Yes, I've seen him, and it's enough. I only want to go. Let's get away from here.
What? But do you think he won't befriend us? I think he looks a generous man. Oh, he's a real gentleman, isn't he?
He's not how I thought he would be.
How strange that you said he might be in the stocks or the workhouse. Shall I call on him? I'll call on him. Shall I?
Oh, I don't know. I can't tell what to set about. I feel so down.
Oh, don't, Mother. Not now we've got here and all. Rest there where you be a little while, and I'll try and find out some more about him.
Grog, will you partake of some grog, sir? Or sherry? There's still some sherry left.
Oh. They don't fill Mr. Henchard's wine glass.
Oh, you know he scorns all tempting liquors? Famous for it, he is. They said he swore a gospel oath in bygone times and has stuck by it ever since. So they don't press him, for your gospel oath is a serious thing.
How much longer have he got to suffer from it, Solomon Longways?
Another 2 years, I say. I don't know the why and the wherefore of his fixing such a time, for he's never told anybody. But there's exactly 2 calendar years longer, they say. A powerful mind to hold out so long.
Aye. And if any of his men be ever so little overtook, he's down upon them, stern as the Lord upon the jovial Jews.
Has he many men, then?
Many? Oh, I'm a good maid. He's the powerfulest man in town. There's never a big deal in it, wheat, barley, hay, but Henchard's got a hand in it.
He worked his way up from nothing when he came here.
And now he's a pillar of the town. Not but what he's been shaken a little about this bad corn he's supplying.
True. Does that growed out? Oof.
It leaves a list at the bottom of the loaf, eh? As thick as the sole of your shoe.
He plays havoc with your insides.
A toast. A toast to the mayor. To Mr. Henchard. Mr. Henchard!
That's all very well, but what about the bad bread?
Yes, how about the bad bread, Mr. Mayor?
I admit the wheat turned out badly, but I was taken in buying it as much as the bakers who bought it of me.
And the poor folk who had to eat it, whether or no.
Remember, the weather at harvest was worse than we've known it for years. And there are accidents in every large business. But I've amended my arrangements. Since my business is obviously too large to be looked after by myself alone, I've advertised just this week for a thorough good man as manager. And when I got him, you'll find these mistakes will no longer occur.
But what are you going to do to make up for what's happened? Will you take back this bad grain and give us good flour?
If anybody can tell me how to turn ground wheat into wholesome, I'll take it back with pleasure. But...
To think our whole lives can turn on a moment. And if I'd never spoken what I did at that precise second, my life would have been quite different. 4 small words.
It can't be done.
Excuse me, who was that man who spoke there?
Oh, it was the mayor, stranger. The mayor, but no magician, it would seem. So it's grown wheat and bad bread for us, the year souls.
Well, not necessarily, my friend.
Huh?
Here, give this note to your mayor, would you?
Aye, stranger. I'll do that service.
Thank you. And can you tell me of a respectable hotel that's, a little more moderate than this?
Aye. The 3 Mariners, just below here, which is a very good place.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, sir.
On the way to bed, Solomon.
Aye. Oh, on your way, Chris.
The evening's drawing on, Mother. What do you propose to do?
Well, we must find lodgings.
Why don't we go to the inn the young man's gone to?
is respectable. What do you say?
Yes. Let's go there.
Well, good night, Tupper.
Oh, good night, Mr. Henshaw.
Good night,
all.
Mr. Henshaw, sir.
Huh?
I have a note for you, sir.
For me, Solomon? Who gave you this?
Oh, young man, sir. A stranger in these parts. A Scotsman, seemingly.
It's the young man in the hotel.
Oh, no, sir. He went to the Three Mariners, I believe.
To the Three Mariners?
And you've got a view of the road from the window. But I'll close it now, seeing lights upon us. Will that be all?
Yes. Yes, thank you. It's too good for us. We can't meet it.
We must be respectable.
We must pay our way, even before we must be respectable.
Perhaps we could apply to Mr. Henshaw tomorrow.
No, Elizabeth. We must forget all about Mr. Henshaw. He's too high for us to make ourselves known to him, so we'll stay tonight and leave Casterbridge tomorrow.
I know what I'll do. You stay here now.
What?
And as you seem busier tonight and Mother's not well off, might I pay part of our bill by helping?
In the devil's name, which one's that now? Oh, it is the Scots gentleman. Well, now, miss, go to the kitchen and see if his supper's on the tray, and if it is, you can take it up to him.
Right.
The front room over this.
Was that your first encounter with him then, my lass? And what? Did he smile?
He was reading a paper as I came in.
That was Farfrae, always stuck in some book.
And I saw how his forehead shone, and how nicely his hair was cut, and the sort of velvet down that was on his skin at the back of his neck.
And then he looked up and smiled.
Nay, he never looked at me once.
Oh, my Lisbeth, more fool, eh? So, you loved him before me, did you?
He served, is he?
Yes.
Well, I can see you're tired, lass. Take your own supper and your mother's up now and eat.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Mother, she's agreed to let me...
Shh!
I'm sorry?
What is it?
Tis he. Listen. He's in the next room. Come closer to the wall.
Oh, but I must beg your pardon. I see you've not finished your supper.
No, not at all. Come in.
I merely strolled in on my way home to ask you a question. So it was you that sent the note?
Aye. Please, take a seat. I've almost done here.
Thank you. You know, I think we were destined to meet tomorrow morning. My name's Henshaw. Well, hadn't you replied to an advertisement for a manager I put in the paper? Hadn't you come here to see me about it?
No.
Well, surely you're the man. Who arranged to come and see me? Joshua, Jip, Job, what was the name?
You're wrong. Not Jip or Job. My name is Donald Farfrae. It's true, I'm in the corn trade, but I've replied to no advertisement. I'm on my way to Bristol. And from there, to America, to try my fortune out west.
To America? Oh, well... Oh, well, then I'm obliged to you for the trouble you took in offering to share your ideas.
Oh, it's nothing, sir. Oh,
it could be. This row about my grown wheat, I swear I didn't know 'twas bad till the people came complaining it's put me to my wit's end. I've hundreds of quarters of it on hand. And if what you seem to suggest is right and I can make it wholesome, well, you could see what a godsend would be.
Indeed.
But this, this process, have you actually tried it out?
Oh, aye. It's an invention of my own. But it works, I promise you. Look, I can show you by a sample in my carpet bag.
The spirit of the man. He was everything I was not. Is that not so, Elizabeth? All patient thinking and intellect and cool reasoning.
You see, it's all a case of timing. You must remember the drying must only be done for 12 hours. Now, no longer, or you'll lose the green completely. And then the refrigeration for 5. Now here, taste this.
Well, it's complete. Well, it's quite restored. Well, very nearly.
Enough to make good sentence of it. To fetch it back entirely is impossible, and nature won't stand for that. But here, you go a great way towards it. Well, sir, that is the process. And if it's of any service to you, then I'm only too pleased.
Don't. But hearken to me. My business, as you know, is largely in corn and hay. Mm-hmm. Now, I was brought up as a hay trusser, and hay's what I understand best, but I now do more business in corn. And if you'll stay and be my manager, you shall control the corn branch entirely and receive a commission in addition to salary.
Eh? That's liberal. Very liberal.
Wow.
But, no, I'm sorry. I can't change my plans.
Oh, well, so be it. Well, in that case, one good turn deserves another. Don't stay to finish that miserable supper. You come to my house. I can find something better for you than cold ham and ale.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to you, but I'm afraid I must say no. I wish to leave early tomorrow, you understand.
Oh, well. Well, you please yourself. But I tell you, if this holds good for the bulk as it's done for the sample, you've saved my credit, young man. What shall I pay you for this knowledge?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You probably won't need to use it very often.
Hmm? Wow. Well, I shan't forget this. And from a stranger, too. It's a fact in my business. Strength and bustle build up a firm, but it's judgment and knowledge that keep it going. Unluckily, I'm bad at science, Farfrae. Bad at figures. A rule of thumb sort of man. You're just the reverse. I can see that. Oh, I've been looking for such as you these 2 years. Now, come, before I go, let me ask you once more. Can't you stay? I won't mince matters. I feel you'd be invaluable to me. And if you bide and be my manager, I'll make it worth your while.
I'm sorry, my plans are fixed. There's no more to be said. But won't you stay and have a drink with me?
Oh, no. I fain would, but I can't. When I was a young man, I went in for that sort of thing too strong, far too strong, and was well nigh ruined by it. I tell you, I did a deed on account of it, which I shall be ashamed of to my dying day. And I swore, there and then, I'd drink nothing stronger than tea for as many years as I'd lived. I've kept my oath. I have. And though sometimes I'm that dry the dog days I could drink a quarter barrel to the pitching, I think of my oath and touch no strong drink at all.
Well, then I'll no press you on it, sir.
Well, I shall get a manager somewhere, no doubt. But it'd be a long time before I see one that suits me so well.
I wish I could stay. Sincerely, I would like to, but I can't. I want to see the world.
Well, good night to you, Mr. Farfrae.
Good night, sir.
Not touched a drop for 19 years. Because of what, Mother?
Elizabeth, I think we will let Mr. Henchard know we're here. And I think it best that you go to see him on your own tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And tomorrow he will be gone.
Gone? Who are you talking about, girl?
As I came down through Canopy.
Oh. Who's that singing so early?
It's the Scottish gentleman. Next door.
Up soon this morning, I suppose.
Yes, almost this morning, Mr. Henchard. Maybe I'll walk on till the coach makes up on me.
Which way?
The way you're going.
Then shall we walk together into the top of the town?
Aye, if you'll wait a minute.
And did you glance down from your window, Elizabeth, and see me below? Or did you have eyes only for him that morning, lass?
All packed up.
Aye, let's go.
And now he's gone.
Oh, my lad, you should have been a wise man and stayed with me.
Yes, it might have been wiser. It's only telling you the truth when I say my plans are big. Yeah.
I can blame no one but myself for all that was to happen. It was by my own device. I courted fate. I drew him on.
I shall often think on this time and how you came just at that very moment to throw a light upon my difficulty.
Well, I'm very glad I did, sir. And I wish you well.
Well, that's thy road, and here we must part. I wish success to thee.
Thank you, Mr. Henchard.
I'm not going to let you go just yet. For I'm not the man to let a cause be lost for want of a word. And before you're gone forever, once more, will ye stay? There it is, flat and plain. Well, you can see it's not only for business that I press thee. Come, bide with me. Name your own terms. I'll agree to them willingly. For hang it, Farfrae, I like thee well.
My own device and the land itself, too, conspiring against me with all its beauty on offer that morning.
Casterbridge. Well, it's a pleasant spot, truly. And I never expected this.
I did not. But it's providence. Should anyone go against it?
No, no, I'll not go to America. I'll stay here, and I'll be your man.
Oh, done.
Done.
Now you are my friend.
Henchard? Henchard? Henchard?
What are you harping on his name for, Elizabeth?
I'm counting the wagons with his name on, Mother. Look. There's another one, see? Henchard, corn factor and a merchant.
Aye, he's wealthy enough, it would seem. Well, Elizabeth, I think this is a seemly enough time to call.
All right, Mother, I'll just get my hat.
Now, don't forget, say to him his relative, Susan, a sailor's widow, say, is in the town. And she leaves it to him whether he'll recognise her or not.
There.
And if he says no, if he thinks it don't become the good position he's reached in the town to own, to let us call on him as his distant kinsfolk, then tell him, say, we would rather not intrude, sir. We'll leave Casterbridge as quietly as we have come.
But what if he should say yes, Mother?
Oh, well, in that case, ask him to write me a note saying when and how he will see us. No, wait. See me.
I will.
I wonder I didn't feel your footsteps beating their rhythm on my heart, Elizabeth.
Excuse me. Could you tell me which is Mr. Henchard's house?
Aye. It's the large one, up there on the right, with the storeyard beside. Do you want to see Mr. Henchard himself?
Yes.
Well, he won't be in the house, he'll be in the office. In the yard, round the side.
Oh, thank you.
The sweetness of my whole life coming nearer and nearer.
Come in.
Oh,
Yes, what is it?
I'd like to see Mr. Henchard.
Ah, yes, will you just wait a minute? This gentleman's to see him first.
Farfrae.
Ah, Mr. Henchard. Joshua Jopp, sir.
Jopp.
By appointment.
All right, he'd better come in. Mr. Jopp.
Aye, sir. Your new manager.
My new manager. He's in his office.
In his office?
I mentioned Thursday, as you didn't keep your appointment. I've engaged another man. I'm afraid I can't wait when this business...
You said Thursday or Saturday, sir.
Well, you're too late. I'm sorry, but I can say no more.
Sorry to keep you.
That's all right.
You as good as engaged me.
Subject to an interview. I'm sorry. Very sorry indeed, but it can't be helped. Good day to you.
Good day. Henchard.
There's someone here to see you, Mr. Henchard.
Oh. Oh, well, come in. Come in.
Thank you.
Now then, sit down, young lady. What is it?
Can I speak to you? Not on business, sir.
Yes. I suppose.
I'm sent to tell you, sir, that a distant relative of yours by marriage, Susan Newson, a sailor's widow, is in the town. And to ask whether you would wish to see her.
The greatest pangs. The severest shock to the heart. And yet, outwardly, nothing shows. Susan is still alive.
Oh, yes, sir.
Are you her daughter?
Yes, sir. Her only daughter.
What do you call yourself? Your Christian name? I hardly dare breathe.
Elizabeth Jane, sir.
Newson.
Elizabeth Jane Newson. Yes, sir.
Then she hadn't told you. Oh, my good wife, Susan, she had kept my crime a secret from the girl. I am a good deal interested in your news. And as this isn't a matter of business, but one of pleasure, suppose we go into the house. I will never forget that walk out of the office, across the yard, through the door in the wall, into another world. The bright garden, and from there into the dining room with my own lovely daughter.
Sit down, Elizabeth Jane. You sit down. Your mother, then, is quite well?
Well, she's rather worn out, sir, with travelling.
A sailor's widow. When did he die?
Father was lost last spring.
Did I wince at that word? Father.
Do you and she come from abroad?
Oh, no. No, we've been in England some years. I was 12 when we came here from Canada.
Ah. And where's your mother staying?
At the Three Mariners.
And you are her daughter, Elizabeth Jane. And I came close and looked you full in the face at your clear, innocent gaze and felt tears rise. Did you notice, Elizabeth? Or did I turn away in time? Oh, I think you shall take a note from me to your mother. I should like to see her. I take it she's not left very well off by her late husband.
Not very well.
Then if you would take her this.
£5?
Yeah. No, wait. And these. That makes it 5 guineas. And also these few lines I shall write.
Meet me at 8 o'clock this evening if you can, at the Ring on the Budmouth Road. The place is easy to find. I can say no more now. The news upsets me almost. The girl seems to be in ignorance. Keep her so till I have seen you. And accept, for my sake, the enclosed. £5.
I chose the Ring for our meeting. A godforsaken, lonely place. But it was well known, being a Roman site near the town, and I knew Susan would easily find it. But, well, it wasn't the best. Its atmosphere was melancholy. Something sinister. A place of ancient tragedy, where you could imagine at dusk the ghosts still walked.
Michael.
I don't drink. You hear, Susan? I don't drink now. I haven't since that night.
Michael!
If I'd known you were living, Susan, but
I thought you and the child were dead and gone. I'd tried so hard to find you. I'd travelled about, but in the end, I was convinced you'd started out on some voyage with that man and been drowned. Why did you keep silent like this?
Oh, Michael, because of him. What other reason could there be? I believed there was something solemn and binding in the bargain.
Oh, Susan.
You may call it foolish, but I believed it for a long time until I confided it in a friend, and she, well, ridiculed me. I wasn't happy in my mind from then on, but it was shortly after that Newsome was lost at sea. I meet you now only as his widow. Had he not died, I should never have come. Never, you can be sure of that.
Elizabeth Jane, we could never tell her the truth. Oh, she'd so despise us both. I couldn't bear it.
Nor could I. That was why I never told her about you.
You've heard that I'm in a large way of business here and that I'm mayor and church warden and I don't know what else.
Yes.
Well, then you can see that, well, to talk in plain British, I can't see how you two can return openly to my house as the wife and daughter I once sold at market. And there's the rub on it.
Yes, I can see we're... Well, we'll go away at once.
No, Susan. You're not to go. Now, that's not what I meant. Look, I've been thinking of this already, and I've an idea. Now, what do you say that you and Elizabeth take lodgings in the town as the widow, Mrs. Newson, and her daughter, and that I meet you, court you, and marry you? Elizabeth Jane coming to my house as my stepdaughter. You see, it would leave my past. Well, the secret would be yours and mine only, and I should have the pleasure of seeing my own child under my roof, as well as my wife.
I'm quite in your hands, Michael. I came here for Elizabeth's sake, not for mine.
Well, think it over. And look to me for money. Have you enough till I come back?
Oh, yes.
And the girl's quite safe, isn't she, from learning about the shame of it all? Oh, that's what makes me the most anxious.
It's unlikely she'd even dream of the truth, Michael. How could she ever suppose such a thing?
True enough.
I like the idea of repeating our marriage. It seems the only right course after all this. Now, I think I'd better go back to Elizabeth Jane and tell her that our kinsman, Mr. Henchard, kindly wishes us to stay in the town.
Yeah, very well. But just one word more. Do you forgive me, Susan?
I...
Never mind. All in good time. Judge me by my future works.
Goodbye, Michael.
I watched her leave the arena by the southern gateway.
Ah, your walk's not so sprightly, my 19 years' wife. Like a different spirit thou art now, Susan.
She was, and she was not, my wife. But my daughter...
Oh, I've got you back. My own. Oh, my own lovely Elizabeth Jane.
How could I have known Elizabeth? How could I have even dreamt of the truth that lay in wait?
In episode 1 of The Mayor of Casterbridge by Thomas Hardy, Michael Henchard was played by David Calder, Susan by Janet Dale, Elizabeth Jane by Andrea Ray, and Donald Farfrae by Jason Fleming. The Fermity Cellar was Mary Wimbush, the young Elizabeth, Zoe Gangevi, Solomon, Jerry Hinks, Christopher, Richard Avery, the auctioneer, Jonathan Wyatt, the landlady, Anna Keane, and other parts were played by Graham Colclough, Gillian Goodman, and Martin Reeve. The music was arranged from traditional sources and performed by Dave Townsend with members of the Mellstock Band, Philip Humphreys, Tim Hill, and Catherine Locke. The Mayor of Casterbridge was dramatised by Sally Hedges and directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.
And more secrets will be revealed in the second episode of The Mayor of Casterbridge, which you can hear at the same time tomorrow.